innovation also requires problem solving, right? Now, how do most people feel about problems? If you go to somebody or somebody comes to you and says, we got a problem. Now, Brandy said excited. Brandy, do you think you're the exception or the norm? She said she's LOLing, so I guess you're being facetious, right? For sure, if you're excited about it, it is the exception. Okay? Most people want answers. They don't like to have them. We want to avoid them. If you're a perfectionist at all, like I sometimes am or often am, you don't want to have any problems. You feel like you have failed, right? So most people don't like the idea of having a problem. And the problem with problems, if you will, is that it usually has a negative connotation. It gets sort of a bum rap. So I want to talk about how we would define a problem in two different ways. So a problem, if you really define it, it's an opportunity to improve something, right? That could be better. So that could be something, a process, et cetera. Okay, this is a good way to define what a problem is. Now, there's two different ways to look at a problem. One I call the reactive way, okay, which is when you fix something that doesn't work. Okay, if you go home tonight and find out that your washing machine stopped working, now you've got a problem, right? You got to figure out, well, how am I going to fix this? Do I call a repairman? Do I try to do it myself, get my DIY manual out from Home Depot? Do I need to buy a new one? What am I going to do? Either way, it's going to take some action on our part that most people avoid. We don't like doing stuff like that, right? So we need to take care of it, okay? And I call that reactive because what? Something happened that's causing us to have to take action. There is a stimulus that is causing us to respond. And the stimulus is something's not working. I also call that the status quo definition of a problem because that's how most people look at it. Okay? Now, there's a second definition which involves an innovative mindset. Okay? And it says making something that already works, in other words, it is operational, even better. How do we make it optimal? Okay? This is more proactive because guess what? It's not that something's wrong. Everything's working well, but if we're innovative, we want to stay ahead. We want to keep on moving. We can be successful as an organization and then be able to get our team to reap the benefits of that success, right? And if we can buy into this ourselves as leaders, we can lead by example and be the model for getting them to get there, right? And this person that you see down below, his name is Jack Bolin. That is a minister that I had about 25 years ago at the church I attended. And I remember him saying this. I always love this quote. He used to say it a lot. Don't let the good get in the way of the better. You know, sometimes we're just so satisfied with where we are. But yet then we're not open to something that could even be better. Right. And people resist it because it's like, you know, I'm in this thing. I'm not crazy about it, but I'm used to it. My sister kind of said this in a real eloquent way, and I'll never forget it. She said, you know, the situation we're in stinks, but we know the smell, right? So we're familiar with it, but we could find a way to get out of it, but we're so used to it, it's like, don't make me have to do something different, right? I don't want to change anything, right? So, yeah, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I think it is the opposite, Gerard. That's a good point, but it doesn't mean we can't strive for better. Doesn't that make sense? So we could have something good, but because we know all these things are changing around us, let's continue to strive for something even better. So what we're going to do going forward from this is we want to find ways, how do we integrate this mindset? How do we have this paradigm shift, if you will, so we can see things a little bit differently?